Good morning. It is indeed a blessed day to be here, to be in this assembly, as we have spent this time and continue to do so, to praise and glorify the one who came to save our souls. I'm continually amazed at God's love when I consider my own life, my own failings. And sometimes I wonder, how could he love one so wretched? And I'm reminded of what Paul says in Romans chapter 7, when he battles that within himself. O wretched man that I am, we serve a glorious, loving, benevolent God. And I am ever more thankful for what he's done for me. Thank you so much for being here and being a part of this service unto him. Thank you to those who've led us this morning. And as we enter the portion of our service, when we open the Word of God, you can go ahead and open your Bibles to chapter 11. We'll be there shortly. I was thinking about, recently, I've been trying to do some projects around the house, and I'm planning for some future things. And it's amazing what you can go online and search for. One of those things, there's some parts that the internet stay out of. The other parts that are valuable. Those how-to videos are valuable for me. A lot of things, I'm not very smart, and so it takes me a little while to figure things out. Those videos, I'll search for a how-to video on how to do a particular project, and it's amazing the amount of information that's out there. And I'll search those things, and I'll watch, and, some people are better at how-to videos than others. But every one of them valuable in some way, and I'm seeing how someone else is doing something. And I'm learning. Now, I know you're like me. You like to learn. We all do. Now, not always the same thing. Some of us like to learn in school, and others of us, we struggle to get through. But there are areas in our lives we like to learn about, and so we search and do research, and we try to figure things out, and those how-tos are great. Sometimes I'll cook and help out. Lisa does most of that, and she does a fantastic job. She is the world's best cook. Sometimes I try to get in there, not burn something, give something presentable. Man, a recipe is a valuable tool. Now, I'm one of those, I don't take a lot of ventures off the recipe. I like to do it the way it says. So when you're preheating the oven, I let the oven preheat. Some of us go ahead and stick it in there. It's cooking while it's preheating. Learning is a valuable thing. When we come to Luke chapter 11, Jesus is praying. And I was thinking about prayer, and this is actually a last minute change in my sermon. I don't normally do that, but last night I'm going to do something different than I had planned. And so I was thinking about prayer, and I've been doing a lot of that recently. And it's interesting, when you think about praying, sometimes it can be difficult to know what exactly should we be doing. We use the word prayer, and all the time on Facebook, somebody put a post up, and we'll say, "I'm praying for you." What is that? What does that mean? There's some in our nation who challenge the ideal of offering prayers for someone. Prayer is a valuable gift that you can give to someone else. It's a valuable gift to us. And in Luke chapter 11, Jesus is there praying. And it's interesting that his disciples are listening. They're hearing him pray, and when he finishes up, they come to him and ask this question. They say, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Now, isn't that amazing? These are the disciples of Christ. These are the 12 men he's picked out, minus one, who are going to go on to lead the church. And they're asking how to pray. And when we think about prayer, it seems like that's a basic element of Christianity. But the reality is sometimes we may not know how to pray. We've heard it our whole lives. But is there a biblical prescription to prayer? The disciples are seeking that. They're asking their teacher, their rabbi, their master, their Lord. They're saying, Lord, teach us how to pray. And so he goes on in verse 2 to give them and following an example of a prayer that might be offered. This morning, I want us to think about prayer and how important it is, and not just how important, but how we do it. I'm not going to talk in this lesson about what we pray for necessarily, but just logistically, how do we pray? Now, when we think about prayer, there are many different ways or avenues of prayer. You think about this morning, we're praying in a corporate way or a collective way in our worship. We have a prayer leader who will come forward and he will offer a prayer. He will direct us in our prayer. Now, in this collective, I liked our class this morning. Patrick did an excellent job talking about, expediency. And in the middle of that, we were talking about in 1 Corinthians 14, or I think it's actually 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says that we are to pray with the Spirit and with the understanding. In other words, there is a way to pray. And as he's talking about in 1 Corinthians 12, he's talking about the collective prayer. And he goes on in chapter 14 to talk about that all the things we do in worship should be done for the edifying of the body. Now, when we pray, just like when we sing, we're not all getting in here and singing a different song. We're not all picking out what song we want to sing. We all sing the same song together. When we pray, we are praying together. We are praying as a unified whole. We're not all praying our own prayers. There are other times for that. And that's needed. But as a part of the collective whole, we're focused on the congregation and on praying together. So one of the ways or areas we pray is in collective worship. We also pray, we do this as a family, we pray before we eat. We pray a prayer of thanksgiving and a requesting of God's blessing. We pray, I'm stepping on my own toes here, we don't do this enough, but we pray as a family. We need to do that more. Our children need to see us praying. Our loved ones need to see us praying. One of the ways we learn how to pray is to see it in others. Jesus gave them a model or example prayer. They're watching him pray, and that's why they ask the question, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach by example. Family prayers are valuable in many ways. One of the ways is we're teaching our children how to pray. And then, of course, we can't overlook that we are, as a family, lifting up our thoughts, our minds, our spirits to God. So we pray as a family. And then our personal prayer. This sometimes is a difficult thing, isn't it? We pray in worship. We pray at the dinner table. And maybe even we pray with our family sometime. But sometimes our personal prayer lives, if we're honest, is not really what it should be. Maybe yours is, and I want to encourage you and exhort you and continuing to do that. In our personal prayers, are we praying as we should be? Jesus says, don't pray as the Pharisees who go on the street corner and pray to get attention. But he says, when you pray, go into your closet or secret place and there open up before God your prayers. A personal prayer is important because it builds our relationship with God. Because in reality, our prayer life says a lot about our spiritual well-being. You should ask yourself a question: if I'm not praying, how spiritually healthy am I? Our prayers say a lot about how spiritually healthy we are. When we look in Luke chapter 18, and I'm not going to read the passage, but I encourage you to go back and look at it and think about it. But here we have two men who come to God, and they're there praying before God. And you have one, the Pharisee, who stands up boldly before God, and he begins to exalt himself in his prayer. And he talks about all the ways that he's better. And even at one point, amazingly, there's another man there, publican, and he's there and he won't look up, and he's praying and he's just asking God for forgiveness. Now at one point that Pharisee looks over and he says, I'm not like this, and I'm not like this, and I'm not even like this guy. Now at the end of that, Jesus says, who do you suppose was the one who went away righteous? It was that publican. The prayers of those two men said a lot about their spiritual well-being. Our prayers say a lot about our spiritual well-being. How spiritually healthy are we? Paul says to the Thessalonians, he writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16, he says, rejoice always. As a Christian, I need to be a joyful, rejoicing human being. That doesn't mean I'm always happy, but that I find joy in my salvation, in my relationship with God. That should give me joy. He says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pray without ceasing. We are people of prayer. Prayer is the rock we lean on. It is our support. It is our avenue with God. Now just imagine a Christian who never prays, who never seeks after God's counsel, who never lifts up God's name in thanksgiving and in praise, in prayer. Again, how spiritually healthy is that individual? Paul says, pray without ceasing. Prayer should be a large part of our lives. So this morning, I've got way too much material, and I'd get a lot of dirty looks if I tried to do the whole lesson. So rather than shortening everything up, I wanted to dig a little deeper. So I'm going to do this in two parts. I know, be mad at me, but this is a way to maybe get you back tonight. 5 o'clock, we'll finish it up. But I want to deal with prayer, and I want to think really about what should our prayer life look like. I'm not giving you an exact prescription for your prayers, but I do think it's important we think about how we should pray. What is a prayer that's pleasing to God? What is a prayer life that's pleasing to God? If we look at more the totality, the holistic view of our prayer life, what does it look like? Not one individual prayer, but as a Christian, What does our prayer life look like? What is a prayer life that is pleasing to God? I want to notice some things from the text, from God's Word that speak to our prayers. Number one, in our prayer life, it is important that we be purposeful in our prayers. And I want to dig into that a little bit and think about being purposeful, having a purpose to our prayers. Now, you may be like me as a child. I'd pray. I didn't really know what to say. And you'd sit there and you'd try to think it through and hope that the inspiration caught you and you know what to say. I think as a maturing Christian, we need to grow beyond that. Our prayers need to be thought out. We need to think about what we're praying about. And when possible, we need to be specific in our prayers. What are you praying for? What are you asking of God? What are you saying to God? Are you being specific when possible? Now, I realize there are times in our lives when that's not possible. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But when possible, be specific. When you're praying for an individual, be specific. About the, does God know what's going on in their lives? Yes, He does. But I still think it's a good thing for Him to hear it from us. I think it's good for us to hear it. Be specific in what you're praying for. Think about it. Look at Luke chapter 11. Let's go back there. Drop down just a little bit. I want you to notice, beginning there at verse 9. The text reads, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Ask. Sometimes the problem is we don't ask. We don't seek it out. I meant to put up a picture of this, but in your prayers, there are different ways, different helps, different aids, different expedients out there to our prayers. One of the things I use on my phone is called Echo Prayer. And it's an app you can download to your phone, and there you can put like an individual or a subject in there, and then you can actually put in there details about what you're praying for, and it tracks your prayer life. That's a great tool. A lot of people ask for prayers, don't they? Which is a good thing. We need to be asking for prayers of one another. This is something I think we're guilty of sometimes, though. Somebody posts something on Facebook, and it's a difficult situation, or maybe it's just a prayer request, or maybe it's a request for Thanksgiving. And we say, "We're praying for you." Now, here's the key. It's one thing to type out that message, "We're praying for you." Are you praying? It's a nice note to put on there, "Praying for you." Are we praying? Because if we're not, we're lying. Be specific in your prayers. Maybe you can just keep a journal. Write down in there who you're praying for, what you're praying about. Those things are things that will aid us and help us. What are our excuses for not doing those things? "Just don't want to do it. I'm a little lazy." I think we need to think about that. Maybe you have a terrific memory and you can remember it good. I don't. Those things are helpful. Be specific when possible. But what about those times when I don't know what to pray for? I'm in a time like that in my life. I don't really know what to pray for. Realize there's help. There are times, God realizes there are times in our lives when we don't know what to pray for. We don't know what the best thing is. We don't know what the thing that we should be praying for. Maybe we understand the situation, but I don't know what the best outcome is. In Romans chapter 8, Paul writes about this very idea. And he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. What weaknesses? For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Paul's saying to us, you don't always know what to pray for. And sometimes we don't pray for the right thing. He says in those moments, the Spirit is there aiding us. With a text that has always, with a phrase that had always perplexed me, and the depth of it, I think, is beyond understanding. But he says that the Spirit is there before God uttering things that which cannot be spoken. Things that cannot be put in human language. The Spirit is there making intercession for us. In those times when I don't know what to pray for, God has provided an aid for me. Because I don't know what to pray for is not an excuse not to pray. But go ahead and open up to God. It's okay to say to God, I don't know what's best, but I trust you. I trust you to know what's best for me. I'll speak more about that later. And then third, be persistent. When you were a child and maybe it was Christmas time and the holidays were coming up, or maybe it was your birthday, or maybe some other occasion, and there was something you really, really wanted, you had to have it. Did you just mention it to your parents one time? Did you just ask for it one time? If it's something we really, really want, we're going to beg, plead, do everything in our power to achieve it, to get it. If there are prayers in our life, there are things we offer up to God that we really desire, shouldn't we be just and or even more persistent about it? People in our lives who are maybe are struggling. Are we praying about those things? Are we being persistent in our prayers for them? Are there things in our lives, maybe there's a struggle, a temptation we are struggling with? Are we persistent in asking for God's aid? Persistency. In Luke chapter 18, we read about the persistent widow who goes before an unrighteous, unholy judge. And at first, he won't give her the justice she deserves. Does she quit? Does she stop? Does she give in because the system's against her? No, she goes back time and time again to the point to where the judge finally says, you're going to nag me to death. I'm paraphrasing. But because of her persistence, She finally wins. Now, God is not like that unholy judge. That unholy judge did not care one iota about that widow and her situation. He didn't care about her justice, her receiving her justice. He was an unrighteous, unholy man. God is both righteous and holy and loving. And he does want what's best for us if we are persistent in our prayers. He will hear us. You notice James chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, James writes, and he's in regard to wisdom. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. When we ask God, do we expect God to hear us? He says, let him ask in faith. Do you believe God can help you? Do you believe in God's love and generosity? If we come to God not believing, let us not expect to receive anything, but be persistent in faith, in believing God will do as he's promised. Be purposeful in your prayers. Next, I want us to think about being in our prayer life, and you think about how your prayers are structured. In Luke chapter 11, as Jesus gives the example of how we should pray, how does that prayer begin? It begins by praising God. In your prayer life, put God first. Be mindful of God first. There are many things in our lives we need to pray about. There are many things that weigh us down and concern us. And sometimes those things can take preeminence in our lives. We need to remind ourselves of who we're praying to and why we have this ability to pray. It is because the Almighty God has established it. We need to begin our prayers with praise of the one God in heaven above. In Matthew 6, 9, Jesus says there, in this manner therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Keep God first in your prayers. In Psalm 95, the psalmist prays this way. Psalm 95, beginning at verse 1. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God, the King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed from the dry land, or formed the dry lands. Begin your prayer with praise to the one God above. And then third, I probably should have done this one second, kind of weigh in these, but in your prayer life, leave room for God's answer. Let me explain what I mean. As we mentioned before, there are times in our lives when we don't know what to pray for. in those moments, we have to leave it to God to answer it. Even in those moments when we think we know what to pray for, we need to leave room for God's answer. The first thing I want us to notice here, and I'll get to explaining this, but number one, we need to understand that God really does answer prayer. A few years ago, Garth Brooks put out a song. I'm dating myself, it's been a while, but Unanswered Prayers. Some of y'all maybe heard that song. And it's a song about a prayer he offered up about a young lady that I guess he wanted to date or something. But and the song's about how he was thankful that God didn't answer that prayer for him. I think there's a misleading idea there, though. It's not that God doesn't answer our prayers. It isn't that God doesn't hear us. God does indeed hear us. Notice what John wrote in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, beginning at verse 14, John writes, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him." Well, what are we so confident about? That if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we have asked of Him. God hears our prayers. And God answers our prayers. However, God, on many occasions, I found this in my life, maybe you have too, does not answer my prayers in the way I believed best. There are times I've went to God and asked for things, and I didn't receive those things, or at least in the way I thought I needed them, or in the time frame that I needed them. But God answered them in His time frame and in His way. I mean, and can we look at any better example than Jesus Christ Himself? In Matthew 26, Jesus is there after instituting the Lord's Supper. They've departed. They went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there He is bowed, prostrate before God. And He cries out to God, "Father, oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." Now that's the prayer of our Lord. Has there been a more righteous person ever to live? No. Been a more holy person? No. He prays this prayer 3 times that night. Earnestly, fervently, more fervent than I've ever prayed in my entire life. Does God answer His prayer in the way He asks? He doesn't, does He? Notice what Jesus says to God. "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." Now, if Jesus Christ says to God, "Not as I will," should any of us be seeking after our own will? Or should we even expect God to answer according to our will? There are times when maybe I want something really bad. I need to pray for acceptance, to accept whatever God's decision is, whatever God's direction is. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul speaks about some kind of thorn in the flesh, something that's causing him pain and discomfort. And he says that he went to God three times. Father, please remove this from me. Imagine, here's the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul. And here he is bowed before God in earnest prayer, asking for healing. We ever go to God asking for healing? All the time, right? What's God's answer? My grace is sufficient for you. Did Paul want that thorn removed? Absolutely. But as you continue reading, he says, therefore, most gladly would I rather boast in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He had to what? Accept God's answer. There are times in our lives when we need to pray for acceptance of God's answer. And so I must trust God. This is when it gets hard. This is when it gets hard in life. Sometimes I've just got to simply have faith that God knows what's best. I need to trust Him to do what's best for me. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Hebrews writer says that without faith, it is not possible, or it is impossible to please God. That faith is a necessity of pleasing God. And you notice as he continues, he defines what he's talking about. And he says that he who comes to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do I trust God to do what's best for me? Maybe what's best for me is not a cure. Maybe what's best for me is not that new job. Do I trust God enough to reward me in the best way possible? In Romans 8:28, Paul said to the Roman brethren, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. There are times in my life when I just simply have to trust God. Maybe I don't understand why. Maybe it causes me confusion. And maybe those things I'll never understand. In those moments, I don't lean on my own understanding, but I lean on my trust in God. This morning, we've talked about our prayer life. What is a prayer that's pleasing to God? Be purposeful in your prayers. Don't just do it haphazardly. It's fun to be spontaneous in life. With your friends, with your family, that all works out great. Don't be like that in your prayer life. Be purposeful. Be purposeful in your prayers. Begin your prayers with praising the Almighty. Leave room for God's answer. And tonight, I want to look at some other things that we need to do in our prayers. So please, come back. Be a part of the service if at all possible. I remember years ago watching Happy Days. Y'all remember Happy Days? We date ourselves, but you remember the Fonz? I remember that episode where Fonz literally jumped the shark. That was on a end of the year, end of the season thing, and it ended on a cliffhanger, and you didn't know he was in the air, and is he going to make it? Tonight, we'll see the rest of the story. This morning, we talked about prayer, and we talked about how our prayer life really does relate to our spiritual well-being. This morning, how is your spiritual well-being? How is your relationship with God? Do you have a relationship with God? If Christ were to come back today, would He find you in Him? Have you been washed, immersed into the blood of Jesus Christ so that He can add you to His church, that God can add you to the church? Have you obeyed the gospel? If not, why don't you do that this morning? Why leave here in that state? Maybe you're a child of God who not really living the way you should. Maybe your prayer life is not the way it should be. Don't leave in that state. Don't leave your soul in jeopardy. We're here to help in any way that we can. If you need the prayers of the church, if you need to ask for forgiveness, we're here to help. Is there any way that we can help? Please come as together we stand and sing.